Subscribe to TourCloud Radio on iTunes, Stitcher and Google Play, or download the Podbean app on the App Store or Google Play and search for TourCloud Radio, all one word.
You are now listening to Talk Loud Radio, sports, nerds, and pop culture.
Now, like every time I tell someone I'm a Heat fan, they always go right back to, oh, he must be a fan just because of Ron.
They were good at one point, you know, when they had Iverson.
So I would say you gotta subscribe to this podcast and my podcast.
What's up, podcast world?
What is going on, guys? All right, welcome to today's episode of GoingForTwo.com's press coverage podcast presented by Talk Loud Radio. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Lambert. You can follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. All right, guys, we're going to continue today with our superfan team previews. Today we are going to be looking at the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. I got two fans coming on, both great guests to come talk about their teams and their outlooks on this season this year. And we're still looking for super fans, guys. We're still looking to fill some of these teams. So if you're interested in coming on the podcast to talk about your favorite team, send me an email. You can send that email to goingfortwo, that's the number two, goingfortwofantasysports@gmail.com. Or you can just tweet at me. Twitter handle is at JeffLambert77. That's Jeff spelled with a G, spelled G-E-O-F-F, and then, of course, Lambert77. And then finally, you can go to goingfortwo.com and click on the Contact Us form at the very top, and you can send me an email that way as well. So plenty of ways to get in touch with me. Just kind of hit me up and just say, hey, I want to come on. My favorite team is such and such. And if it hasn't been taken yet, I will pencil you in. I'm doing the divisions based on when I fill them up. So once I have a division with a all four teams filled up with super fans, that's when I go ahead and do the podcast for that division. I think my next division is probably going to be the AFC West, I believe. I got to look at my notes again, but I think that's a division that I have all teams filled. All right, guys, what else is going on? If you haven't been to the site in a little while, we are in full fantasy football off-season mode. We got our team previews coming out daily just about now. I think we just put the Bills up today. I think you can find the Cowboys on there. I believe the Giants came out last week. I'm currently working on writing for my 49ers. We got a Denver Broncos one in the works. I believe the Miami Dolphins is in the works. So definitely check that out. We're breaking down the teams position by position, telling you who you should target in your drafts, any sleepers, any rookies that you might want to look for in for each team. So definitely check that out. We also got breakout candidates, which I'm actually dividing between my site, and I'm also writing some of them for the Fantasy Life app blog. So I'm splitting between those two. You can find the links in the articles that I write for the Fantasy Life app blog. They're on medium.com. Basically, it's second-year players, in some cases third-year players, that I feel have a chance to break out. Now, it's not necessarily guys that I think are going to break out. We're just highlighting guys that are going to be drafted with breakout seasons in mind, and then giving you our opinion if we think they can break out or not, or if it's just fool's gold and they're just going to be what they are, and that is a second-rate NFL player. So definitely check those out. My rankings are now up there as well, sponsored by FantasyPros.com. Of course, we're affiliated with them. So you can find my rankings. Just go to the page, go up to the top, Fantasy Football. You'll see the rankings up there. Fully interactive. There's standard rankings. There's PPR rankings. There's half-point PPR rankings. So definitely check those out as well. Of course, it's super early, and I know everyone's not really thinking about Fantasy Football, but if you're one of those freaks like I am and you get into it really, you know, pretty intensely, check that out. And then finally, of course, we got the mock draft tool up there that I've mentioned a couple times. It's the best mock draft tool out there. You can literally do a mock draft in about 10 or 15 minutes. 12-team league, 14-team league. You can customize it. You can pick where you want to draft. You want to draft first. You want to draft fifth. You want to draft 10th. You can put in, you know, if you got 10 flex positions, you can put that in there. You got defensive line, linebacker, cornerbacks. You can put all those in there. So anything you can think of, pretty much, you can put on there. So definitely check that out. It's pretty awesome. You actually draft against some of the experts in the business. It randomly selects different experts for you to draft against based on their rankings. It's pretty smart. It's got a pretty pretty good AI that picks teams pretty consistently. I've had some of them that are computer operated where it'll just pick the best guy on the board. And if they happen to be a quarterback, then it'll pick a quarterback and they'll end up with like three quarterbacks. So this one actually has a pretty good AI. So it actually picks a team the way someone might actually pick a team. So all kinds of exciting stuff for the for this off season here. It's a slow period. You know, there's not much going on except for baseball. Of course, the NBA Finals will be done soon, and it'll be just baseball. So, all right, let's go ahead and jump into the team previews for today. Like I said, we got the Packers. We got Jake Morish coming on for the Lions, actually. And then for the Packers, we got Tim Strobel. So we're going to go ahead and take this commercial break really quick, and then we'll come back with Tim.
You're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team. But your fantasy sports service doesn't allow that. Now you can, with the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create challenges using individual players. You can pit Bryce Harper versus Mike Trout or Chris Davis versus Matt Kemp. Easily create private or public challenges for all the major sports, MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, PGA, and more. You can even play for free. For more information and to download the app for iOS or Android, visit nohalftime.com. Receive a cash bonus by using promo code G42 at signup, and get a free t-shirt when you make your first deposit. Real money and fantasy supremacy await you. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break.
All right, guys, we are here with Tim Strobel of the DFS Roundtable, here to talk some Packers football. He is a Packers super fan who I actually just found out lives in Dallas. So that's going to be an interesting dynamic with Dallas and their rivalry with the Packers over the years. Tim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great. So just give us a quick history. You know, you live in Dallas. I don't know if you grew up there or not, but how'd you become a Packers fan?
Well, I actually grew up in Houston, but I am the son of a diehard Eagles fan. So when I was growing up, I was pretty much told that I could like any team but the Cowboys. And when I was 6 years old, I was watching football with my dad, and it was the Green Bay Packers. And I told my dad right then and there, I said, that's my team, 6 years old. And I'm 29 years old now, and it's still my team.
Nice, nice. So you actually did grow up in the Texas area then, so you never could be a Cowboys fan because of your dad, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't have wanted to be anyway, but that was definitely looked down upon in my household, to say the least.
All right, good deal. All right, let's talk a little bit about their off season. You know, just kind of go over, you know, the free agent signings. You know, they signed Jared Cook, who I heard just is going to have surgery now. And then your draft, pretty much, you can go over that as well.
Yeah, well, I was really excited about the Jared Cook signing initially. I think that was a real position that they've been lacking ever since they lost Michael Finley. I mean, Richard Rodgers obviously had some good points last year, but he just wasn't that real tight end presence that we needed. So I was really hoping that they were going to look at one in free agency. They signed, you know, Jared Cook to a one-year deal. I absolutely love that move. You know, he has to have the surgery, but all indications are that he should be good to go for the season. So I think he'll be a real improvement on for our team.
Yeah, I think one of the things that the Packers have struggled with in the past is they really don't have that sort of big, like, Calvin Johnson type receiver. They've kind of relied on their tight ends to be that, you know, that short red zone offense. And Richard Rodgers, I feel like, should be that guy, but he just really hasn't amounted to what I thought he could have been.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think that that's really what they envisioned him for when they brought him in, and then he was kind of thrust into that role. And like I said, he was really good in spots, but he just wasn't that presence, like you said. And especially hard to watch the Bears last year with a guy like Marty B that they picked up on free agency from the Cowboys. You know, watching him be that kind of a presence for them, I admitted a few times I wish we had Marty B on the Packers, but I'm really happy with Jared Cook. I think it was a great signing.
Good deal. And let's talk draft. Now, I'm looking at your draft class here, and they pretty much went – they went defensive tackle, tackle, linebacker, linebacker, defensive end. None of those sexy picks in those first five rounds, and then they finally go and get a wide receiver in the sixth round. How do you feel about your draft class?
I really liked it. First day when they drafted Kenny Clark, I was a little hesitant because we had re-signed – guy on in the off season. Obviously we lost Raji, but I was still thinking that our main need was at linebacker. But they obviously went and got Blake Martinez in the later round. So I was really happy about that. He can play, you know, two of the three linebacker spots. The only one that he can't really play is the one that Clay Matthews excels at. So that's perfectly fine with me. But with the way those picks, worked out, I think it was perfect for Ted Thompson. He knew what he was doing. They had a strategy going in. I love the Jason Spriggs pick. I believe three or four of our offensive linemen have contracts that are set to expire at the end of this year. So having a young guy in there both for depth and to kind of give some competition to those other guys, I think that can be nothing but a good thing.
All right, good deal. So looking at their schedule now, I circled a couple games here that I wanted to talk about. In week two, you get the Vikings, which should be a great matchup in primetime. How do you feel about your chances going into that game?
Well, I do. That one, I think, I hate to say it because it's so early in the season, but you know how all of us kind of when the schedule comes out, we go through and we say, okay, this one's a win, this one's a loss, this one's a maybe. And it's really hard for me to look at that week two at Minnesota and think of anything but that you know, that could be a loss. I mean, Minnesota is definitely an up-and-coming team. They're going to be at home in their new stadium. It's I believe it's a Sunday night game, so all the eyes are going to be on that game. And obviously, I'd love to get out of there with a win, but if I'm being true to myself, I think that one's going to be a tough one to steal.
Gotcha. Now, I had another game circled, but now I'm going to switch it up because I know where you live now. I'm looking at the week six matchup versus Dallas. You're going to be at home for that one. What do you think of that matchup?
I like it a lot. I think whoever made the schedule for the Packers this year is a Packers fan because they gave us, outside of that week two, which is a division game, all of our tougher matchups are at home this year. We get the Cowboys at home. We get the Colts at home. We get the Seahawks at home. So I couldn't be more ecstatic with the way the schedule worked out. I'll get to a little bit later in my bold prediction, but let's just say that I have a big number in mind in terms of the win column for the Packers this year.
All right. We'll hold that to the end and get a little bit of a tease there. All right, so looking at the season coming up, what is the most, like, the thing you're most excited about that you want to see this year?
Well, two things. Obviously, our offense last year was not what we've been used to in recent years. Losing Jordy Nelson early in the season was huge. We didn't really have that other receiver emerge. Too much was put on the shoulders of Randall Cobb. And so we really didn't ever get into that kind of fluid Packers offense that we're used to seeing. And, you know, they were able to get by through the regular season, but when we got into the playoffs, I feel like they were almost kind of exposed. And that one really hurt. And the other reason they were exposed is because of our running game. I'm really excited about Eddie Lacy this year. Obviously, there's been a lot made in the offseason about the effort that he's put in to get the body that he wants and arguably the Packers want. You know, I'm sure everybody saw photos last year of all the weight that he had put on. They said that he put somewhere between, 20, 25 pounds of fat during the season. I think you saw that just on the field. And it was one of those things where, you know, you don't have to be a football expert to know that he slowed down throughout the season and it really hurt us. I mean, when they started playing James Starks in front of him, that pretty much told you everything you needed to know. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, Eddie Lacy at full strength, Jordy Nelson at full strength. Some of these younger guys got some chances to develop last year. So I think our offense should be much, much improved over what you saw last year.
Nice. I actually did a piece for Fantasy Pros, actually for their audio YouTube page, and they wanted me to give two players, a wide receiver and a running back, that are going to be bounce back candidates this year for fantasy. And I had Eddie Lacy as my running back, and I had Randall Cobb as my wide receiver, actually, because I think both of them benefit from Jordy Nelson. Obviously, Lacy needs to lose some weight, which I think he's already on pace to lose pretty much all the weight that he's gained. I think he played in his rookie season at 235. I believe he's down to 240. So I think those are two players that, I think you're right, I think they're going to have great years now that Jordy Nelson's back. That offense will be back clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, and like I said, I also really like some of the development from some of our younger guys. You know, Jeff Janis, Jared Aberderis. I mean, they really were kind of big in certain spots last year. Obviously, I was hoping for more out of Devontae Adams. But between him and, you know, the younger guys, I agree with you 100%. I think that a lot of people, you know, we always kind of have a fantasy look on things. I think a lot of people are going to be kind of shying away from some of the Packers offensive players due to performances last year. But I agree with you. I definitely see this as a big bounce back year for all three of those guys.
All right, now we're going to put you in the GM role, and it's going to be tough with the Packers here because they, you know, over the history have been pretty good decision makers. But if you were running the team today, what's one thing you would do or change to the team?
Well, I mentioned earlier about half of our offensive line is set to expire at the end of this year. Usually you don't see offensive line players like that. Usually they tend to lock them up fairly early. So that would be one of the things that I'd want to do. The Packers are notorious for getting guys to sign team-friendly contracts. They, you know, most players want to stay there. So whether it be, you know, Bakhtiari or Josh Sitton, I want to see them lock up some of those offensive linemen. I think that obviously our franchise is Aaron Rodgers. There's no doubt about that. We need to keep him upright and healthy, and we have those guys locked up under contract. I think that's probably the best move that we can make right now.
Okay, get the offensive line locked up, definitely, because we saw what, you know, Rodgers struggles a bit when he sees, you know, he's excellent at escaping pressure, but when it gets to the point where he's got somebody in his face the moment he drops back, I mean, it's hard to be a QB at that point.
Exactly, yeah. And like I said, even though I'm really excited about Jason Spriggs, he's a rookie. And obviously, you know, I have, you know, high expectations. The Packers have high expectations for him coming into this year, but he's only one guy. You know, like I said, I believe Sitton, Bakhtiari, J.C. Treader, all those guys are set for contract expiration at the end of this year. So, you know, there's a little bit of kind of hesitancy going into the season about, okay, are these guys going to be kind of our options there long term? And I'm sure they're it's hanging over their heads as well. And I don't think that any players necessarily perform best when they necessarily have that hanging over their head. You know, they're not. There's a lot to be said about the contract year, and I'll get to that for Eddie Lacy here in a second. But when it comes to the offensive linemen, I don't know that giving them that final contract year incentive is the same as, say, a guy like Eddie Lacy.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, let's put you in the time machine now and take you back. You can go back as far as 5 years. What's one decision that the team made that you want to change?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would have to say, and I understand why they did it, but I definitely think that they overpaid James Starks in the offseason. That one kind of hurt a little bit in the sense that I know he had some other offers elsewhere, but he's, you know, he's getting older. He was a good kind of plug and play guy because he knows the system last year when, you know, Eddie Lacy wasn't performing up to expectation. but the Packers are a lot like the Patriots in that they don't tend to extend guys when they get toward the end of, you know, the end of their peak years. And so when I saw that they gave James Starks a multi-year deal, I was a little bit hesitant on that signing. I would have liked for them to maybe have drafted a younger running back if they don't see Eddie Lacy as the future. As I mentioned earlier, he is up for a contract year this year as well. Obviously, if that was done, you know, there was no deal for that one on purpose. They want to see how he performs. But if he doesn't perform well or they don't see him as the future, then the only real running back we have is James Starks. And I really don't think that that is a good plan for the future. So I would have maybe not given him a multi-year deal, maybe even let him walk away if we had to, and maybe tried to develop a younger guy.
Yeah, I can see that, definitely. I mean, James Starks is a great sort of number two back, but I don't know so much as a lead back if he's really the guy you want to have in there long term.
Exactly. I mean, he was great for us, like I said, last year. He was great for us during that Super Bowl run a few years back. But I'm not big on, you know, paying guys for past performances. And generally, the Packers aren't either. So that, I think that move was, they tend to like to keep their guys, but they usually tend to get them to sign team-friendly contracts. And I guess this was one of those kind of impasses where they said, we want to keep this guy enough to where we're going to overpay him a little bit.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now I want to circle back real quick, because one thing I did forget to mention, we were talking about the schedule that I thought was interesting. You actually end the season, the Packers do, with three straight divisional games, two of which are on the road. How big is that for playoff implications, you think?
It is big, especially that Vikings game. I am not necessarily a big believer in the Bears or the Lions this year. I will be genuinely surprised if either of them are above a 500 team. But the Vikings are on the way up. I don't think there's any doubt about that. They're not going to roll over for us. So that December 24th game at home against the Vikings is about as close to a must-win game at that point in the season as you're going to possibly have.
I'm sorry, because I think it almost come like almost be like a playoff game, so to speak. I think kind of like it was last year. Did it come down to like the last game or second to last game versus the Vikings and Packers last year as well?
It did. Yeah, the last 2 years, I believe, it's come down to the Vikings for playoff seeding. And last year, obviously, getting that, you know, win against the Vikings at the end of the year allowed us to get a much more favorable matchup against the Washington Redskins in the playoffs. But this year it's a situation where I think based on how the schedule turned out, it may not be as important, but I'm never going to downplay the importance of a divisional game like that at the end of the year, especially when, like you said, two of the three are away. So divisional games away late in the season, I mean, at Chicago in December is always, always a tough place to play. It doesn't matter what the Bears' schedule is at that point in the year. They're going to do everything they can to win that game, especially if they think it's going to have playoff implications for the Packers. Like I said, whoever made the schedule, I think, was a Packers fan because of the fact how some of these played out. Yeah, I don't have any doubt in my mind that those last 3 weeks are going to be really dependent on either A, whether the Packers make the playoffs, and B, where they're seated for the playoffs.
Yeah, agreed. Anytime you have that down the end of your season, I mean, that's potentially three division wins right there at the end that could really take you from, you know, a middling, you know, seed to a division win, you know, possibly if you were to win all three of those games.
Right. Absolutely. And this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. I see, looking at this schedule, there are really only about 3 to 4 games that I see that I think are going to be games that are, I don't want to say that I don't think we have a better than average shot of winning. I think there are probably 4 games on this schedule: at the Vikings, home against the Vikings, home against the Seahawks, and home against the Colts, that I really see as the games that are kind of make or break this season. you know, there's always a game or two that crops up throughout the season that you don't really see coming. Last year it was the Miami game where you just sit there and think, okay, we won that one, but we barely won that one. But if, you know, if all goes to plan based on the way this schedule looks, I think that this could be, you know, a 13-3, 12-4 type season.
Nice, nice. That kind of leads us right into your bold predictions here. You kind of already teased it a little bit. What's your bold predictions for the season?
Yeah, and that's what it is. I'm going to go ahead and go bold here and say that they go 13-3. I really think that that's a not only a realistic number, but I think it's kind of one of those things that they're going to need to have. I mean, the NFC is tough. Obviously, the Panthers last year showed that they're up and coming. Sure, they lost Josh Norman, but they're still going to be an excellent team. And so it's going to be a situation where, you know, especially like I said, that December 11th game against the Seahawks. The Seahawks aren't going anywhere either. And, you know, traditionally we have not matched up well against them, you know, or they've been close games right down to the wire. So it's going to be one of those things where it may be a game or two that decides whether we're playing at Lambeau or in Seattle, you know? And right. So it's a situation where if we don't get that, you know, that two seed, the one seed or the two seed, we could see ourselves traveling on one of those playoff games and into a less than friendly environment. And, So I think it's going to be very important, like I said, a couple of those last four or five games in determining whether or not we're going to be traveling again or we're going to be hosting the playoff games.
All right. So in closing, you kind of already mentioned it a little bit, but let's go ahead and get you on record. What's going to be their record for the season and how far do you think they go in the playoffs or do they go all the way?
All right. I'm going to stick with 13-3. I really think that's a realistic prediction. That's what I'm going to go with. Set it in stone, if you will. As far as their playoff run, as I mentioned, there are some really good contenders in the NFC. It's tough for me to obviously see what the playoff schedule is going to look like this far out. There are just so many things that can happen, but I'm going to put them in the NFC title game. I don't know if it's going to be a Panthers team, a Seahawks team, or if some new challenger emerges. But assuming everybody stays healthy, you know, knock on wood, I see us getting to the NFC title game. And at that point, anything above that is gravy.
All right. Good deal. Good deal. So going all the way to the NFC title game, I have to say I do agree with you. I think the Packers are going to be much improved this year. I think the loss of Jordy Nelson was more than I think most people realize. I don't think Nelson gets as much credit as he should as a top wide receiver in this league. I think, you know, his impact obviously was felt last year in the running game. I mean, Lacy gained weight, but even still, I think, you know, teams were able to stack the box a little bit more and sort of stop that run. Aaron Rodgers, you know, didn't have his go-to guy when he was scrambling around. So I think they're going to be much, much improved this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that even us Packer fans did not realize how important Jordy Nelson was to that offense, not only to give Aaron Rodgers another option for a guy he could trust, but like you said, giving defense is something that they had to worry about. When they were able to double-team Randall Cobb or bracket coverage Randall Cobb and make him throw to some of those secondary receivers, it was not hard to tell that they were really struggling. So one more bold prediction, since you kind of touched on it earlier, I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy finishes the season as a top five running back.
Nice. Nice. I think
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I'm on the same line of thinking with you. I think, like I said, in that fantasy audio that I ran, I think I said that he's got top five potential.
Yeah. Well, like I said earlier, he is in a contract year. He has so much to prove to the team, to the fans. I believe he really wants to be with the Packers. I think he knows that there aren't too many better places that he could end up other than, you know, Green Bay. So I think we're going to see, you know, the Eddie Lacy of a couple years ago. He's going to be focused. He's going to be determined. He's going to be in shape. And, you know, I'm seeing him going in a couple of the, you know, middle rounds in some of my fantasy drafts, you know, in the 30s and 40s. So I think that he could be a big steal this year in your fantasy drafts.
All right. We're going to wrap it up now. I appreciate you, Tim, coming on tonight.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. Thanks for having me, man. Anytime.
All right, guys. Again, it's Tim Strobel, Packers superfan from the DFS Roundtable, and you can find on Facebook. It's a Facebook group. So if you play Daily Fantasy and you want to learn some stuff, you know, please request an add to that group. Tim is one of the mainstays in the group. That's where actually where we met. So definitely check that out on Facebook, and we look forward to the season. And thanks again, Tim, for coming on tonight.
Absolutely, Jeff. Go, Pack, go.
Going 4-2, your number one source for fantasy sports with top-notch fantasy sports advice, an exclusive community forum, and some of the best and most knowledgeable writers in fantasy sports. Visit today at going42.com. That's going42.com. Going 4-2 features NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and more. And they also provide the best advice for your FanDuel, DraftKings, or daily fantasy sports site. Sign up for the Going 4-2 newsletter and get updates immediately through your email. And while you're on the site, make sure you check out the exclusive section, Why I Hate. That's going42.com, G-O-I-N-G-F-O-R, the number 2. Going42.com. Go visit and get the inside scoop of everything fantasy sports.
We are here with Jake Morish, Lions super fan. Actually, I found him on the Fantasy Life app, which some of y'all may know. I actually write for their blog. And his handle there, if you want to, you know, give him a shout out, is at DET Lions. So at Debt Lions. So definitely check him out there on the Fantasy Life app. If you haven't downloaded it, you can get it for your iPhone, your Google device, whatever. It's just an app that you can download. It's got some great fantasy football communities in there, some great conversations. So check that out. Jake, how you doing tonight, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. I'm excited about the football season, and it's only June.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm sick of this basketball.
Not a basketball fan?
A little bit.
Yeah, it's not football, that's for sure.
Oh, no, not at all.
All right, so we're going to be talking some Detroit Lions today. Before we jump into this, I want to get you some of your background in your history as a fan of the Lions. How long have you been a fan? How did you become a fan? Do you live in Detroit?
Yeah, born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. I'm 23 years old, so I've been fan since day one. Been a couple of pretty bad years, but you know, I'm pushing through it. I'm hoping for some bright spots here soon.
All right, sounds good. And then guys, if you haven't noticed, Jake's a little under the weather, so if you hear him clearing his throat, you'll know why.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk some off-season notes. Of course, the biggest news coming out of there is not really who you signed or who you drafted, but it's who you lost. No more Megatron in Detroit. How are you going to replace him?
That hurts. It's going to sting. I mean, we brought in Marvin Jones. We're going to hope for some of the catches to be brought up. Obviously, he's no Megatron. He's not going to jump up and catch the Stafford ducks. We're going to need Stafford to be a little bit more precise, probably have some more under routes, quick slants to Tate and Jones. Just hoping they can pick up Calvin Slack that he left us.
Yeah, now do you anticipate going to more of a run-based offense? Because I was going to talk about your running back situation too, which is kind of in flux as well.
You know, I could see it. They definitely went offensive line heavy in the draft. We got, I mean, our running back situation is still a mess. Abdullah with an injury, Bell's gone, so we brought in Ridley, but I think he's done. Theo Riddick, he's going to be big in the passing game. He's actually one of my real dark horse sleepers in the PPR league here. Other than that, yeah, we're going to need some major blocking from our line to open up some holes for our running game.
Yeah, I think that offense really struggled last year, and then even the year previous with injury to Megatron. So I'm interested to see what they do with the offense, if they change it at all with Megatron not being there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's move into the schedule here. And I was just kind of overlooking the things right now. Of course, you're a dome team. And I'm looking at the second half of your season here, and there's really only one potential cold weather game, and that's December 18th at the Giants. Otherwise, after your Week 10 bye, you're at home with the Jags. You got all your division games at home after your bye. You got the Vikings at home. You go to the Saints. Of course, they're a dome team. Then you get the Bears at home. Then you get the Giants, which I had mentioned might be a cold weather game, might be some snow. Then you go to the Cowboys, and you finish up with the Packers in your place. How big is it being a dome team to have pretty much every game except for the one game down the stretch of the season inside or in a good weather climate?
Oh, man. I mean, it's definitely going to help. You know, teams that aren't used to that cold, passing game suffers. The runners aren't as fast. They cramp up. The lines aren't as quick off the ball. It's just overall better for a dome team to have those colder months inside or away games in hotter places.
Yeah, I think it definitely could pay dividends down the stretch, especially, like I said, you play all your division games at home, you know, after that bye week. So that's definitely going to be huge for playoff implications for sure. All right, so I sent you a bunch of questions here. We're going to go ahead and just kind of jump into those and get your opinion on some of these things. So what are you most excited about this year? Like, what's the one thing that you can point to that you really want to see for this year upcoming?
I'm just really ready to see how this offense handles a full year finally under Jim Bob Cooter, our offensive coordinator. They showed many, many bright spots last year, but also many, many weak spots. You know, changing offensive coordinator midseason, Stafford having to learn a whole new playbook, offensive line, need new timing, the backs learning the new plays and all that. But other than that, I'm also really excited to see how Ziggy does. I have a feeling they're just going to unleash him this year. He's going to be strictly get to the quarterback and hit him every play.
Yeah, I just saw an article on ESPN.com talking about that they think he could be a 20-sack guy this year. You think that the potential's there?
Oh, I could definitely see it. Actually, I have him coming up as one of my answers to one of your questions coming up here.
All right, we'll get to that. So with Jim Bob Cooter, it's still funny kind of saying that name. I just feel like I'm working into a podcast some way, somehow. What do you think his goals are as an offensive coordinator? I mean, he was thrust into it in the middle of the season last year, really didn't have a chance to implement a lot of his stuff that he wanted to. Like, what are you hearing? Are they going, like, with a pass offense? Is it a short sort of controlled passing game? Is it a down-the-field passing game?
You know, everything I read and hear, it kind of sounds just like a shorter passing game. I mean, if you look at our offensive weapons, we got two quick little receivers. They'll be good on little out routes, slant routes, and then we got Theo Riddick and Adela, scat backs, basically. Riddick is great in the passing game. Get him out in the screen. He can bust it for 40 yards if he got some blocks. So, yeah, I see a lot of quick up-tempo offense coming.
Okay. All right. So if you were to take over the team, let's put you in the GM role, what's one thing that you would want to change with the team immediately?
Man, well, can I rewind time and bring Calvin Johnson back?
Throw him something. Maybe he'll come back.
Yeah. Other than that, well, I think this year we just got to see what Stafford does under the new offense, full year under it. If it's not good, I think we'll go down to the trade deadline and see what we can get for Stafford. There was huge talks last year about trying to trade Calvin at the trade deadline because we figured he's done. We're going to make the playoffs. We figured get some picks for him, get something. I kind of feel the same way about Stafford's coming soon. I feel his time... 10 years ticking. He's not happy, especially with Calvin gone now. That was his go-to. And I just kind of feel if we can get something for him, get it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that trade deadline, I think the Lions could be looking, you know, for a bunch of things, really. I mean, we mentioned their, you know, running backs. They don't really have that sort of every down running back. They thought Abdullah could be that guy, but we have yet to see it. So, I mean, they could be looking for a running back. They could be, you know, who knows how Tate and Marvin Jones are going to pan out as receivers. So they could definitely be active with the trade deadline. Possibly even before the season starts, they might make a move or two. So who knows what's going to happen there with Stafford. Because you're right. I mean, he's had his chance, so to speak. I mean, he's had, you know, the weapons that he needed to get there, and he just hasn't gotten it done. So maybe it's time to move on from Stafford and see what you can do.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's take that GM role a step further and just kind of look back 5 years, is there a decision that the team made that you wish they hadn't made, something you could change?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the 2014 draft when we took Eric Ebron in the first round, 10th overall. I mean, I know hindsight's 2020, but if you look at some of the players taken after him, like Odell Beckham, Aaron Donald, Shazier, C.J. Mosley, and even Kelvin Benjamin, I mean, they're all obviously studs nowadays, and Ebron's still trying to pan out, and he's got a lot of hope this year, hoping he could take over some of Calvin Johnson's catches, but from what I've seen thus far, I'm not too impressed, and I definitely would have one of those five or six guys I listed than Ebron right now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a pretty good list there of players, and Ebron just hasn't really panned out. I know I'm a big fantasy guy, and I'm sure you are too, and, you know, Ebron every year seems to be the sleeper tight end, and eventually you can only be a sleeper for so long, and then you just are who you are, so I think we give him one more year and see what he is.
Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into bold predictions here. What's one bold prediction you have for your team that no one will see coming?
Well, I kind of got two here. First one's not so bold. We kind of touched on it a little bit ago. I think Ezekiel Ansah will lead the NFL in sacks.
Wow, that's pretty
cool. Like I said, I think that he's just going to be unleashed. Terrell Austin, the defense coordinator, is still there. I just think, I mean, Haloti Ngata re-signed. He's out of his prime, but he's still a big body. We drafted A'shaun Robinson in the second round. I think with a little bit of help, it's going to free him up, maybe give him some more one-on-ones. He can beat that tackle, get to the quarterback, get a bunch of sacks. Number two, kind of fantasy-related, I have Theo Riddick being top 10 PPR finishing back. Abdullah, injury-prone, fumble-prone. Jim Bob Cooter here for a full year. I was feeling he's going to be used a ton, and Stafford's just going to love him. Stafford's got to throw the ball to somebody, and I think Riddick is going to make up for a lot of those catches Calvin Johnson had.
Okay. That's pretty bold. Theo Riddick, I need to put him on my fantasy radar for sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's circle back a little bit here and talk about your draft. You had mentioned you had gone, you know, O-line heavy. Of course, you took your first pick was an O-lineman, and then you went tackle with your second pick. How do you feel about your draft? Do you feel like they did what you wanted them to do, or did you want to take one of those sexy picks that they didn't get?
I'm pretty happy for the most part. I kind of feel like we reached for Decker. I kind of wanted us to trade back a few picks because I felt he would fall. From what I'm hearing in the training camp right now, they got Decker playing right. I hope they move him over to left and put Reef to right because Reef struggled mightily last year at left. Like I said, A'shaun Robinson, I think he'll help our offensive line free up Ziggy. What I'm most excited about from the draft is Miles Killebrew. He's a strong safety.
Yeah, we haven't listened to the strong safety here in the website here.
Yeah, he's from Southern Utah. He's just a heavy hitter. Last year there, he caused four forced fumbles. I just feel with Glover Quinn next to him, he's going to be a big mentor for him. He's going to help him grow up next year or two, how many ever years Quinn's got left in him. I think back in 2014 when we had the best defense in the NFL and Quinn was with Hegabow, I think Killebrew can be just like Hegabow, big dude, strong tackler, forces fumbles.
Okay. Now I see you drafted a quarterback there. Is that quarterback going to be the backup, or are we looking at Dan Orlowski, or however you say his name? Is he going to be the backup to Stafford?
Now, I'm a huge Michigan fan. So last year, I watched every Michigan game, and I really saw Rudock transform under Harbaugh. Every time I think of Orlowski, all I see is him running out of the back of the end zone.
it's probably his most famous play.
Yeah, and with that, he's got to go. He's a great player. He's a great guy. All the teammates love him from what I hear, but it's time for him to move on, and I think we got a really good quarterback with Jake Rudock. And I don't want to pair anything here, but Rudock was taken the sixth round, and so was another Michigan quarterback that's pretty well known in the NFL.
Yeah, I know who that is. So, yeah, of course, we're talking about Tom Brady. All right, so let me give you the scenario then. Let's say that the Lions start off the season. Let's see, when's your bye week? So your bye week's week 10, so that probably wouldn't work as much. Let's say somewhere in the middle, like say week 5, week 6, you're looking at your 1-5, maybe 1-6. Do they make the move from Stafford to your rookie quarterback, or do you think he's just there to learn for the season? Let's ride it out with Stafford.
I don't think that they would take Stafford out if they did go 1-5. Just looking at previous seasons, they've done that, and he's not gone anywhere. Unless Stafford has another injury or we do decide to trade him to get something from him, I don't think Rudock will see the field. I guess it's just going to come down to preseason ball and training camp to see how Rudock learns the offense and kind of army's got on him, because seeing him in college, he wasn't that great with the deep ball, but I mean, like I said, we're going to have a shorter offense, so maybe he'll be better. But yeah, I don't think he's going to see the field unless something happens to Stafford.
Okay. All right. Let's see if there's anything else here in the schedule that I wanted to talk about here. Of course, we talked about your early division games. You got the Packers and the Bears back-to-back, both away games there, week 3 and week 4. It's going to be a tough stretch for you. What do you think of those two games?
You know, I think we go to Lambeau, and I don't think we beat them. We got them last year. They didn't have Jordy. I think it was right around the time, right after Jordy got hurt, I believe. And Eddie Lacy wasn't doing very good. And Randall Cobb didn't like that lead receiver role.
Right.
So Aaron Rodgers didn't have anybody to throw the ball to. So I think we got lucky. So I don't think we get them this year. But I definitely think we get the Bears. They're not very good. I don't like Cutler. Don't like Cutler. Langford scares me. I'm not scared of him. Just I don't think he's very good. Yeah, the Bears just aren't that good. I think we get the Bears there.
That's the best analysis that you could give. They're just not that good. I like that. All right. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up here. Give me your prediction for as far as record for the season, and do they make the playoffs? And if they make the playoffs, how far do they get?
No, I'm a homer, so I want to say 10-6, but I'm a realistic person. I went through the schedule a couple times, and I'm seeing 8-8. If we do get lucky towards the end of the season, like you said, with those all-dome games, maybe 9-7, but I'm going to stick at 8-8.
Okay. Does 8-8 get you into the playoffs?
I don't think so. Not with the Pack and not with the Vikings and other teams will just beat us out for the wild card.
All right. So you're on the outside looking in. That's a realistic fan right there. Most of the fans that come on here and tell me the team's going to be 11-5, 12-4. And I'm like, everyone can't be 11-5 and 12-4.
Nope. Hey, I mean, that's what happens when you're a Lions fan for 23 years.
Hey, I'm in the same boat with you this year. I'm a 49ers fan, so I have a feeling that we might be worse than you in the NFC. I'm looking at maybe 4 wins for us this year. That's you know, if we get lucky.
Oh, man. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, there's a story that came out on, I think it was ESPN or somebody put it out, that we're not favored to win in any of our games this year. So we're basically picked to go 0-16.
Hey, come join us. We're sitting here all by ourselves. We can use a friend.
Yeah, misery loves company, right? All right, hey, man, I appreciate you coming on tonight. I'm definitely looking forward to the season. I want to have you on again. Maybe we can talk some preseason Lions football when it rolls around. I could find you there on the Fantasy Life app, and now I got your email too, so I can definitely hit you back up when the season rolls around.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll definitely come back on.
All right, sounds good. All right, guys, make sure you follow him or check him out at the Fantasy Life app. You can download that for your iPhone or Google device. His handle is @DETLions. Check him out. He's a very active member in there. Actually, it's how I found him. I posted something in one chat, and someone told me to go find him in the other chat and just, you know, use his at symbol. And then that's how I found him. So definitely give him a follow in there, and check out the app if you haven't already downloaded it. And Jake, I appreciate you coming on tonight, man, and look forward to the season.
Yeah, one last thing. I want to shout out Nothing But Nonsense Chat on the Fantasy Life app. That's where you follow me. Great place. Another chat, Centaur Fantasy League. Check it out.
All right, and there you go. That's a wrap.